We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
McCaffrey is the number one pick in fantasy football next year. The only person who has a shot at Christian McCaffrey is the person who randomly, through luck, gets the number one pick in the draft, whereas if you have an auction draft, there could be strategy for how you go about it. So this year, to get Joe Burrow, the Dolphins would have a shot at him. The Chargers would have a shot at him. The Patriots would have a shot at him. Yes, his hometown Cincinnati Bengals would have a shot at him. And so there would be competition and intrigue. And just like with National Signing Day for high school recruits, you could have a television component to it where it's like, okay, Joe Burrow has the L.A. Chargers, the Miami Dolphins, and the hometown Cincinnati Bengals. And he makes at 7 o'clock tonight when the draft starts, Joe Burrow goes out there and he puts on a hat and picks up a jersey of the team that he's going to. Mm-hmm. Like, there would be more intrigue for more teams. And then I actually think, last point, it would actually be better for the teams themselves, because everyone says, oh, you need parity. There is no proof that exists that parity in the NFL is created through the NFL draft. It doesn't exist.
There isn't.
The Patriots don't pick at the top. The Browns pick at the top every year. 19 teams have had the first overall pick since Tom Brady won his first Super Bowl for the Patriots. Only one of those teams that had the first overall pick, one of those 19 teams, has ever won a Super Bowl after they had the first pick in the draft. And it was the Chiefs last year, and they didn't win the Super Bowl because of Eric Fisher. They won it because they had Pat Mahomes, who was the 10th overall pick in the draft. Player development and coaching is what wins in the NFL. It's not like the NBA, where if you get the number one pick and you get LeBron, you're going to win. You get the number one pick and you get Tim Duncan, you're going to win. Number one picks in the NFL bust out all of the time. There's parity in the NFL because there is coaching discrepancy, there's scouting discrepancy, there's player development discrepancy, and there's non-guaranteed contracts, and there's a salary cap. So you can't outspend everybody else like in baseball. Like, the Jaguars can spend what the Patriots can spend, which is what the Ravens can spend, which is what the Packers can spend. That's why guys in free agency don't always just go to L.A. or Miami or New York like they do in the NBA, because there's a limited amount of financial resources, so you go where the money is. Because people are like, oh, all that would happen here is everybody would go play for the Cowboys. No, they wouldn't. Like, if Dak Prescott signs a $35 million per year contract, Joe Burrow's not going to play for the Dallas Cowboys. There's a limited number of starting positions in the NFL, so you'll go wherever has the money and the playing time in order to develop you. It would eliminate tanking, and it would incentivize teams to be better at scouting and better at player development. Abolish the draft, rookie free agency, let's go.
Yeah.
But that's what good teams already do. I mean, you look at that part, I'm with you, fully on board with it, with the player's perspective on it. Yeah, if I'm Joe Burrow, it might be the hometown Cincinnati Bengals that I go to tonight, and it's, all right, yeah, I'd like to at least have the opportunity to go maybe be Tom Brady's replacement in New England, go take a quarterback spot somewhere else other than Cincinnati that's been one of the more horribly run organizations in all professional sports. I'm 100% with you on the player's perspective on this thing. But that's what it comes down to either way, draft or no draft. It's about developing players. You mentioned it with the New England Patriots. We mentioned it a little bit ago of the teams that historically draft well or the ones that you don't laugh about their drafts anyway.
See, there's only so much the NFL can do. There's almost nothing it can do about a coaching staff not being effective at developing players. So by doing a draft lottery the way they do it, it's, and Parkins is right, there's no proof that it's working. If it were, why do you see the same teams almost every year in the top 10, in the top 5? But it's in the spirit of creating competitive balance. It's one of the few things the league can do to ensure that. And I think of, as soon as we started having this conversation, I started thinking about several cities that would be at a terrible disadvantage in a draftless pro football world, and they would be the small towns that nobody ever grew up dreaming of living and working in, like Buffalo, like Green Bay. Now, it's true, those teams have to go out and recruit free agents, and they do, but in the eyes of a 21-year-old kid, I have a feeling that a high percentage of the guys are not going to find those smaller towns as desirable. And that's going to put them at a hell of a disadvantage when you're dealing with major cities or cities that have really good historical football histories.
Well, there's a disadvantage already, right? They already have to overcome it in free agency, and they do, right? Because of money allowed. Like, if you're the Packers, you're a historic franchise. Aaron Rodgers retires. Kid grows up. Aaron Rodgers is his favorite player. Dreams of being quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. They have the most money available to offer to the stud rookie quarterback, and they have playing time available. If the team in LA and the team in Dallas doesn't have the same money available in their rookie cap, and they have starting quarterbacks already, like, they could go. So would it be tougher and more incumbent on them to be a well-run franchise? Absolutely. But Detroit picks in the top 5 all of the time, and they're still awful. So, yes, I'm with you. I'm not naive to say that there are geographic advantages and disadvantages to teams, but there are also advantages to being bad and picking at the top of the draft every year, and these teams bungle that opportunity all of the time. Like, Reggie White chose Green Bay, Mario Williams chose Buffalo in free agency. You'd have kids who were from places who just wanted to play at home, and then they would make a choice. I'm going to sacrifice some money because I want to play for my hometown Atlanta Falcons, or whatever the case may be. There would be pros and cons to it, but more teams would have more access to more players. The players would have more personal freedom over where they choose to go, and mm-hmm. it would take a huge component of luck out of it, where it's like, I don't know why Cincinnati gets rewarded with the best college quarterback season in the last 20 years because they were the worst team in the NFL last year. Like, why should that be rewarded?
Well, why it's rewarded is to try to get them better, because that's what the NFL wants. You know the answer to that.
But they can't help themselves.
Yeah, I know.
What would you feel about if the NFL draft didn't do – worst record gets the first pick, if they went to more of a lottery format like the NBA, or if they did something crazy and absurd, and instead of being a team that, okay, you are 2-14, you get the first pick, oh, because you were awful and to work against tanking, you're drafting at the end of the first round instead.
I think that would be a step in the right direction. I don't think it makes it
bad.
Yeah, I don't think it makes it better for the players in the way that abolishing the draft does. And someone on Twitter said, why talk about something that'll never happen? It's how it works in European soccer. There's no draft, and that's one of the most profitable, biggest sports leagues of any kind in the entire world. It's a free market.
I assume, Danny, you do know it's never going to happen. I'm having the conversation with you because I think it's intellectually stimulating, and actually talking this stuff out is fun, and I don't think it's as crazy as a lot of people, but it never will happen.
I mean, probably not. I'm not saying it's going to happen in the year 2024.
I'm not saying it will happen. I'm saying it could happen.
I don't think it'll. No.
I'm saying it should happen. I'm not saying it will happen. I'm saying it should happen.
Well, I think we should have a team play in a stadium with a retractable roof too. Can we get these things done by 2024, please? I get my retractable roof on the lakefront, and you get your draftless NFL.
Hey man,
then we'd
be
in business.
I think it would be better. I think it would be a more compelling television show tonight. Like, if we didn't know where Joe Burrow was going, wouldn't there be more intrigue tonight?
Of course.
So?
Of course.
I think it's an interesting thing that is worth exploring. And when you say it'll never happen, never's a long time, man. Like,
yeah, well,
Adam Silver is running the NBA right now, and he is open to all sorts of crazy things that 5 years ago people would have said would absolutely never happen. We're living in an age of instant replay, and robot umpires are around the corner, and COVID-19 is going to make us have a year of fanless games. Like, plenty of things are going to happen in sports in the next 12 months that 12 months ago we would say would never happen. So I won't completely rule out the possibility that eventually the NFL won't be so conservative and stodgy in their old ways where they'd be open up to something new.
Something new that is, I think, a possibility, although I wouldn't label it a likelihood, was Shep's suggestion of adopting, because I'm hearing the phrase tank, and not from franchises, but from people talking about them, going with a lottery system, where maybe you take the bottom seven teams, and the team with the worst record is not insured of having the first pick. So this year's Bengals weren't guaranteed to get Joe Burrow or whoever they wanted to at number one. They would be part of a seven-team lottery. I would favor that, because that would, and again, I don't think NFL teams, we talked about this a little yesterday, administratively there's a tanking. On the field, there absolutely is not. That's just not the way coaches and players work. That's not how they ever can afford to work. You operate like that in a tank world in that profession, you do not have a job very long. You're definitely, no, there's no such thing as tanking in the NFL.
Yeah, right. Even if an organization wants to, the players themselves are trying. And to the texters who are saying, well, Danny, there's only the same three or four teams that are competing in the EPL every year. Yeah, absolutely. I'm saying for player acquisition, there's a profitable league that works this way. I'm not saying abolish the salary cap in the NFL. Like, the NFL has things built into it that have nothing to do with the draft that guarantee parity. Player careers are very short because of the high injury rate, the size of rosters, so that one player doesn't change an entire franchise, free agency, restricted free agency, franchise tags, salary caps, salary floors. Like, there are so many things baked into the NFL system that create the idea of parity in the NFL. It's not just, oh, there's a draft, so there's parity. It's much more complicated than that.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. But I enjoyed the discussion of it anyway. You know, I had this conversation many years ago with our buddy Doug Buffone about a draftless world, and when players were, because he came in shortly after players when they actually had an opportunity to select where they wanted to play before it became this sort of indentured servitude that we've been operating under for a long, long time. And I'm sure from a player's standpoint, that would be a most welcomed change if you could go back to that era where you could pick where you work. And it is kind of it's kind of the American way when you get right down to it.
Amen. Right? Yeah. Let's go.
It's awful. I've not, you know, because people don't get it. People will say, because a high percentage of our listeners actually got to go out and work for a living, and I appreciate that. I really do. But a high percentage of people think these guys are lottery ticket winners. A high percentage of people think these guys have it made, that it's all been handed to them. And that simply isn't the case. And you're 22 years old, and you've put yourself in a position where you're among the best at what you do in the world, and you can't choose the city where you're going to find employment? That just doesn't sound right to me. That just doesn't seem fair.
I agree. I'm always interested in making things more fair, Mac. You know that about me. So that's my theory of the day.
I'll vote for you.
Thank you. What would be better than an NFL draft? No NFL draft at all. We won't run that by Dave Wanstead, though. We will talk about the draft as it is presently constructed with the coach next on The Score.
That's a tease for all you listeners out there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Stay tuned.
Can I talk football here for a minute? Let's talk Bears, okay?
Dave Wanstead.
Dave Wan has guided his Bears to the playoffs, and he knows what it takes to succeed.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here, and Dave Wanstead, there's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
A superb game plan defensively by the Miami Hurricanes.
The party has begun in Miami.
Super Bowl champion.
They swarmed to the ball so incredibly. This speed burning defense, number one in the NFL. Dave Wanstead, the defensive coordinator.
Football analyst for Fox Sports and NBC Sports Chicago.
Coach, are you kidding me?
Dave Wanstead.
Dave Wanstead with the mustache. Looks like Bill Cowher, the Pittsburgh coach, a little bit, doesn't he?
And Ditka likes it. What kind of a guy is this, right?
With McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
Where the bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Athletics. The Wildcats would like to thank all of those working throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, including grocery store employees, restaurant staffs, and delivery drivers. We appreciate you. This segment on The Score also brought to you by the UPS Store. Dave Wanstead with us by way of the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Coach, happy draft day.
Yes. How are you guys doing up there? Everybody good? Everybody staying safe?
Are outstanding. Yeah, this is our fifth straight week of broadcasting from our own homes, Dave. And you saying up there can only lead me to believe that you're in Florida, probably golfing, but being responsible and social distancing. Or is the knee not ready for 9 holes yet? How's the knee?
No, I'm playing golf. I'm doing everything now. I'm even. I tell you, this has gotten to the point with me. I don't know about you guys, but I'm sipping on bourbon now. You know, I've gotten tired of my red wine. I've got, you know, beer, now I'm sipping bourbon. I was never a bourbon drinker in my life. Here I sit talking draft, you know.
I'm a bourbon man. What's what is the bourbon of choice right now? What are you starting on?
You know what? I have to I got to go check what the name of that bottle is in there. We got. Hold on. I'm going to check.
Yeah, go check for us.
He got a bourbon.
I'm going to go check.
Yeah, you go check.
It's from Kentucky.
The knee is in great shape, bro. I'm doing it all. Shooting about 100. Shooting 110. I'm doing it. I'm back into form.
Perfect.
Yeah, you know, that's perfect.
Dave, the Bears do not have a pick tonight. We are not expecting to have any Bears talk in earnest until after tomorrow night, second round. I want you, before we get into some of the specifics of tonight's draft, to jog your memory. And whether it was as an assistant coach, a head coach slash personnel man, when was the time in your NFL life when it came to picking player where you were the most wrong? And tell us a little bit about that experience and how it went off the tracks with drafting a player.
Well, the biggest regret that I have of any place was Drew Brees. I mean, you know, we legitimately at the Dolphins that year, we were coming off of a real good year with Jay Fiedler, you know, I mean, but we were sitting there and I forget what pick we had. It might have been 23rd, 24th, somewhere in there in the early 20s. And Drew was on the board. And we, we all liked him. We had done our research. We knew he was an accurate passer. But there was a real split in the draft room of that there had never been a quarterback at that time that had won a Super Bowl that was under 6 foot tall. Mm-hmm. And so there was a real discussion by a lot of guys that were great evaluators, and we talked about it, and we passed on Drew Brees. I mean, that was probably the one. Now, I say that, but if you look at Drew's, early part of his career, it wasn't very good, but he did, obviously. Now he's one of the best that's ever played. So we could have used another quarterback. I just didn't respect that position enough and give it enough credit that, otherwise I probably, if I could have done it over, we'd take him, obviously.
Was yours the loudest and most influential voice in that room?
Yeah, well, when I was at the Dolphins, it was the way it was set up since Don Shula was there. The head coach was also the general manager.
Right.
So I had final say-so, but Rick Spielman, I brought him down from the Bears, and Rick was my, director of all player personnel, and Rick knew his business, and we had a great scouting. In fact, Chris Greer, who's the general manager of the Dolphins now, I brought him on board when I was down there, and so we had a really talented group of guys, and the coaches were involved, and it was just one of those collective decisions.
When you look at the Bears and the move they made to bring in Nick Foles and the competition with Mitch Trubisky, does that tell you that Ryan Pace will be approaching this draft any differently in terms of trying to win now, or does it have no effect?
No, I mean, I think that he would like to get an offensive lineman. I think he would like to get a corner from the secondary. I think those two would be the highest as far as if he had an option on his board. I think there'll be two good players there at both of those positions in the second round. So I don't see Ryan doing much moving. I think he knows he can get two potential starters there in the second round at two positions that are somewhat of a need for the Bears. So I don't, if you can get a guy that can come in and contribute, that's drafting for now. That's not drafting for the future. And, all the free agency moves that he made. I'll tell you, I was a little bit taken back, but I love it. Whoever made that decision, whether it was Ryan Pace or whether it was Matt Nagy or whether it was George McCaskey or whoever, it doesn't matter. I mean, they said when they signed Danny Trevathan back, I loved it because I'm a big fan of his. And then I know Quinn, from when he was going back to North Carolina, I remember him playing. We played him in a bowl game when I was in Pitt. Butch Davis coached him down there at the time. Nick Foles, a veteran guy. Jimmy Graham, a veteran guy. And the interesting thing is you got veteran guys, and when you get to that point in their career and they've all had success, some of them have Super Bowl rings, some don't, but they're all playing for a ring at this point. And the money's a big part of it. But at this point, they all see an opportunity with the team that the Bears have, primarily the defense, that they could make a serious – they should now make a serious run, for this thing this year and be a possible division winner, championship team, playoff team, whatever category you want to put it in. And I think that that's exciting, and I love what they've done so far, in the offseason from a free agent standpoint.
Pace continues to use the phrase draft the best player available, and that might be true, but I think NFL personnel guys try to hide that. They draft the best player available at the position where they have the most glaring need more often than not. Which do you believe is the most glaring need on the Bears when he does get his opportunity to start calling names?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You're right there, Mac. I mean, that's kind of a company line. I mean, everybody says that just in case, they're in the second round and a first round pass rusher falls to them, or linebacker or quarterback. And now they got to make a serious decision. And you hate like heck. I mean, the scouts and everybody puts that much work into it. When you put the board up there and you put grades on them, boy, you really hate to waver from that too much, unless there's several players at the same position. I don't know. I, uh, you know, the whole pit, the, I think back to your question, biggest need in my mind, I would probably say corner at this point, only for the fact that we know they got to replace Prince. They did sign Artie Burns. You know, Artie Burns was healthy the end of the Steelers season, and he was a scratch. He didn't even dress out for the game. He was inactive. You know, why is that? I know they got a few young kids that they really like, Tolliver, a couple guys, you know, maybe. But in this offense now in the NFL where they're spreading you out and using four or five receivers, you can never go wrong by drafting another, you know, cornerback, in my opinion. And then it would be offensive guard, not tackle. I think a guard. I would love to see Cody White here play guard. And if there was a center there, and you know, that would probably be the only thing that would push me. If I had equal grades on a corner and a guard, I would probably go corner. If I had equal grades on a center and a corner, I would probably go offensive center and give me the flexibility to move Cody again. I think that would, in the long haul, really give him some depth at a position that's a need.
Wow, interesting. We're talking to Dave Wanstead, McNeil and Parkins on The Score. What are you convinced of? Forget the Bears for a second. In the first round, these high-name players, like, what do you think you absolutely know about guys you love or guys you hate in the draft?
Oh, I don't know anything. I mean, you know, none of us do, really. I mean, you know, this is going to be a little bit different because you know what's happened in the past. These scouts during the month of March, right after Indy, the combine, everybody, all the players start having these on-campus workouts. And so but when like Darrell Revis or LeSean McCoy had a workout at Pitt, you know, all the NFL teams come and there's general managers, there's scouts, they all stay pretty much at the same hotels. And afterwards, they're hanging around, they're getting a beer at night, or they're hanging out during the day, and they're all talking. They may say, hey, what do you really think of Tua? You know, do you think he's healthy or not? And you end up getting more of a consensus feeling on how everybody feels. Or they may say something about Justin Herbert. Hey, you know what? Have you heard this about Herbert? I mean, guys will talk. These guys are all friends. They all, the way the jobs bounce around now, you know, there are secrets who you're going to take. But when you're talking players, I've heard this firsthand. I've seen it firsthand. What's missing this year, they didn't have the workouts because of the COVID-19, the virus. So as a result, I think that most of these clubs are going to be kind of on their own a little bit more than usual. And I think you could see a few picks that might surprise us. Where, I don't know. I mean, it's the same group of guys. It sounds like Cincinnati's already worked out a deal with Burroughs. Chase Young, a lot of people trying to get up. A lot of people trying to get up into that second pick. I know that. But I don't see Ron Rivera being a defensive guy. I would be really shocked if he did something crazy. They've already made a commitment that they're going to stay with the quarterback Hastings and go forward. You know, to me, Detroit is sitting here at number three. Everyone's talking about them taking the corner from Ohio State, which they probably will if they sit. But that's the spot that I think you could see some movement at. I don't know. I don't know. You know, Jimmy Johnson had an interesting theory. We were talking, and he said, boy, if I was at Detroit or if I was New York and I didn't get a big enough offer, I might take one of those quarterbacks. I might take Tua. I may take Herbert and then see if I can trade them. That's kind of what we did with Steve Walsh. And we all know Steve Walsh, you know, the quarterback, you know, took us to the playoffs and won a game, playoff game at the Bears. Steve was, we drafted him in a supplemental draft at the Dallas Cowboys. And then we traded him to New Orleans for a first, second, and third round pick. So, you know, it depends on how much say-so you have, the decision maker in the draft, and how much guts do you have. Jimmy went ahead and made that deal, you know, and it worked out great for us. But, you know, you could see some movement there, I think, with Detroit or the Giants. And then I think that, real quick, I think the Dolphins, if they're going to take a quarterback, whether it's Tua or Herbert, I don't know. They'll take one, and probably San Diego will take the other.
Texters are doing our follow-up work for us, Dave. One guy wants to know, so when you didn't take Breeze, who did you take? And another guy goes, just texted it a minute ago. What about the bourbon? I want to know what kind of bourbon.
Well,
I'm going to tell you
because I'm holding the bottle right here in my hand. Okay, it's Kentucky Straight. It's Woodford Reserve. So
oh,
I don't know if that's
one.
Any.
Is yeah.
it? Okay.
Yes, that's
all
the
right.
official
well,
bourbon of the Kentucky Derby almost every year. That's good stuff, Dave. That's good. Now, who did you take over Drew Brees?
Well, now you got me under the bourbon. We ended up taking Jamar Fletcher from Wisconsin.
Safety,
he won the Thorpe Award that year. Yeah, I can tell you his numbers because I grind on the phone with Barry Alvarez. I mean, I talked the kid was a playmaker. The kid had 21 interceptions in his college career there at Wisconsin. He was a playmaker. He had great instincts, but he lacked a little bit of speed, and he ended up being just an average player. The guy we took from Wisconsin in the second round was a guy named Chris Chambers. We moved up four spots to take him, a receiver. I think he went to a Pro Bowl or two. He was a heck of a player. He could have played for anybody.
Dave, the other thing that we wanted to circle around and follow up with you on is we heard you with Mully and Haw this week, and it was fantastic as always. But you were talking about the 90s Bulls, and you told a 90s Bulls Michael Jordan story, and you just kind of casually mentioned that you attended Michael Jordan's 30th birthday party. But then you went on to talk about other stuff. Like, you didn't give me any details of Michael Jordan's 30th birthday party. I want follow. Who was there? What was the guest list? What was the bourbon of choice? Like, give me the details on the party.
Well, I was actually going to dinner somewhere, and I went down, and Michael owned his restaurant then, Jordan's restaurant down there on LaSalle, and I was taking my wife and daughters with me, and we were going somewhere else for dinner, but we used to take our free agents down to Michael's restaurant. That's where they took great care of us, and that's where we took our free agent players at the time for the Bears. So I went down there and went up to he had a private room on the top floor. Okay, there, Boy Wonder. This was past your time. You weren't born yet, okay? And he had a private room up there where the guys could get together. And so he had the place was packed. And we went, and this is the funny part of the story. And I assume that this part's true. You'll have to confirm this. So we went up into the room, and Michael was there, and Richard Dent was there, I remember, and, you know, all his guys and so forth. And we just went in. They were smoking cigars. They might have been playing little cards. I don't know. And just said hello. We were kind of passing through. And there's two parts of this story that are pretty funny. So then we leave, and we hear that's the day that Jay Leno was doing. That's the week that he was doing his shows live from Chicago. And the story goes that Michael was going to be on, and Jay Leno was outside waiting. And Michael was 10 minutes overdue. It was 15 minutes. He was up there with his fellows. He was in the middle of this. And someone said, hey, Jay Leno is downstairs waiting on you to do this, you know, the Tonight Show or whatever it was. And Michael obviously said, I'll be down there when I can make it, you know, when I'm ready to come. And so we walked downstairs. So that's one story. Okay, you can confirm that. Give you something to do there, Boy Wonder. And then the other part of the story, which you don't have to confirm because it's about me, I'm standing there with my daughters when we first get in, and I'm looking for the guy who set us up to get us upstairs here to see Michael. And this kid, I see him coming, and he's working his way across the room here, the restaurant. It's packed. We're on the bottom floor. We just walked in the door, and he's working it. So I know he's coming toward me, and he walks up to me, and he's got a piece of paper and a pencil, and his dad's standing behind him, and he looks up at me. He's, you know, way, bends his neck, looks way up, and he says, you're not Phil Jackson. And he turned around and walked away. So, yeah, that humbled me in a hurry. And, yeah, you're not Phil Jackson. And I said, no. And he turned around and walked away. Yeah. So.
Just the coach of the Bears. All right, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
That's good stuff. Dave.
What else you want to know? You got the name. I got all kind of draft stuff here. You got. Mitch, you got Foles. What do you want to talk about? Come on.
What other draft stuff do you have for us, Dave? Empty the notebook.
What do you want to know? You know?
All right, I want to know this. Where would you play Isaiah Simmons? How would you coach him? Because people are saying now that NFL teams don't know where to play this guy.
Oh, God. You know what? If he can be a pass rusher, which I'm not sure he can, that would be a priority. If he wasn't a pass rusher, I would not draft him that high. I don't want to hurt. I know you're probably wearing a Clemson jersey right now, but that would be my feeling. If he, and I haven't studied him, but if I was not convinced that he could rush the passer, I would not draft him to be a linebacker.
How sure are you of Chase Young?
You know what? I am. You have to take it for what it's worth. And, you know, from the standpoint that he's young, I think he from the standpoint of age, and he has said all the right things. Everything I've talked to people, you know, Shiano 2 years ago, Halfley was a DC there last year. Everybody's given me good reports out of Ohio State as far as his character. So, you know, I think a kid like this, you know, he played big time football. You know, you can't find those guys. So I would not be concerned about him at all.
Dave, enjoy the draft. Thank you very much for the time, and enjoy, maybe most importantly, the Woodford Reserve.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm envious.
I'm just nursing it. You know, that's the difference. See you guys.
See you, Dave. Have a good
day. I love it.
All right, look that up, Boy Wonder. Okay. I don't know what I'm looking up. Did Jay Leno taped a show in Chicago?
I wasn't sure what you were supposed to be confirming.
24 years ago. How do you find that?
He's been like that about confirmation on stuff ever since he opened his mouth when he shouldn't have on checking into the Joel Quenneville firing. Now everything has to be done because he realized, I got nothing. I got nobody over there. I'll find out more about this in a few minutes. Sure you will, Dave.
Obviously, I'll find out, or you guys will find out. What am I saying? I'll find out.
Also, how about it be like, I got draft stuff. What else do you want to know? I ask him about Isaiah Simmons, a maybe top five pick of the draft. I don't know. I haven't studied him. What are you talking about then?
Well, as we're exchanging some texts along the way, laughing, one of his first comments was, I don't know anything. So
Texter goes, why cut Wani off? He wanted to talk.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.